Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Welcome to the Catch Up. Make sure you subscribe. Big show today. Had the NRL CEO on, Todd Greenberg.
What a good guy, man. Like, that is the toughest job at the moment. And we asked, he said yes, absolutely. And he answered every single question we posed him.
Do you know he was a really good cricketer and then became an administrator in rugby league?
What would make you do that?
No, I don't. Well, he must wonder. Would you rather be the boss of Australian cricket when that sandpaper gate or when
Cricket Australia, for sure.
Be easier?
Oh, way easier.
Or you could argue that actually it's better with the NRL because there is so many things wrong with it. There are lots of things you could fix. Like, you could actually make a dramatic difference because there's so many problems.
Robin, I must say, you'd be the only person that would look at those two and go, I'd rather be the NRL one because you get a chance to work harder.
Mm. Well, one of the problems...
I'm having a crack.
One of the problems floated today is that there's too many Sydney teams. You want to kick some of them out, Marto.
Two to three. I think, where do we get to? Cronulla Sharks was one of those.
You wanted to amalgamate the Rabbitohs,
yeah.
St George and Cronulla.
Well, there's a lot of passion about it. You forget not everyone likes the Broncos.
Very true. Mm,
you know what we did sort out early this morning, I'd forgotten, is the spoon in a champagne bottle.
Oh, okay. So important.
It was very early this morning. I forgot that even happened. Anyway, don't do it.
The show's that big that you forget by the end of it what we talk
you're
about.
You're trying to avoid revealing that you're just not perfect, and we found that out today.
I didn't even say I was perfect.
Yes, you did. The topic was
what annoys you about your partner, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, yes. What does your partner do that's annoying? And I didn't think there was all that much
you
stuff.
You said
that
the words were, I'm perfect.
Did I actually say that?
Yes, and that is a red rag to a because I was going to go, oh, let me disprove that theory.
And you did that thing where you go, I'm perfect. And you did that, and like you were sipping something effervescent, and you sat back with your arms folded and looked in the air.
You should see what happened.
Perfect.
Close.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
All the footballers are bigger, stronger, faster. Because they've worked so hard in the preseason. The NRL starts next Thursday. I'll tell you who's worked harder than anyone. It is the CEO of the NRL, Todd Greenberg. Good morning, mate.
I'll tell you one thing. There's no one more looking excited about getting the games back on than me either, I can tell you that much. Well,
tell us, what's been the hardest part of the off-season? We look at all the various problems. Which beat has been the most difficult?
Oh, look, it's fair to say it hasn't been the most relaxing off-season, I can put it that way. But, you know, my concern is for the damage that it does to the game and the way people perceive the game, particularly those looking from the outside in. You know, I'm very conscious that the way we portray ourselves, and when I say all of us, it's we in this, it's players, administrators, everybody. We have a huge opportunity, but also responsibility to showcase the game positively. And to be frank, we just haven't done that over the last couple of months, and that creates real problems for us long term.
Well, Todd, funny you should say that, because being here at Triple M, we're massive supporters of the NRL. And so yesterday, after all the stuff that had come out over the weekend, we decided to ask our listeners exactly how they felt about the game and whether they would leave it because of the off-screen behaviour. So have a listen, because here's a snapshot of what they said.
No, absolutely not. You know, these players aren't the brightest, but why should we be turned off?
You just can't put them up on that much of a pedestal, these blokes.
I actually gave up my membership this year as a member of the Broncos, but I couldn't endorse the support of one of the players from the Broncos. I have a 2.5-year-old son, and, you know, I'm really excited to take him to the game because it's my passion, but I just can't say, hey, you know, clap these guys.
Well, I can certainly say that it's increased memberships and registrations at AFL clubs, local AFL club I'm part of. We've actually increased the number of under 10 teams from 4 to 5, and that fifth team is pretty much made up of ex-rugby league and some rugby union kids.
Todd, what are you going to do about that? That is what your grassroots supporters, they have no agenda to ring Triple M other than we ask them to, and that's what they said.
Yeah, and you're not going to get me disagreeing with some of them, because the way the game's conducted itself, and particularly our players over the last 3 or 4 months, has that level of impact where people will make decisions to choose other sports to play or other sports to watch. In saying all of that, I'm at pains to point out that the experiences that we have had over the last couple of months are a very small number of what are a lot of very good, hardworking people in the game. But I'm a realist to know that that small minority creates real issues for us. And look, all I can do, as I've done previously, is judge us on how we react to these things and judge us on how we try to resolve these sorts of things and try to ensure that we improve it for the long term. And I've long maintained that people will judge you less on the issue but judge you more on how you deal with the issue.
Response, yep.
Now, Todd, I'm a Melbourne boy originally, so a big Storm fan, and obviously Melbourne Storm had some titles stripped off them for salary cap breaches. Would you ever consider... if there's a team that's obviously the culture's bad and they've had too many players in these off-field incidences, would you consider stripping them of possibly points or even a premiership if it goes too far during a season?
Well, I mean, look, you're not far off where our thinking has been over the last 12 to 18 months, which is clubs that want to take risks on players, particularly players with poor behaviour or sanctions previously, putting a bond on players within certain clubs as part of registration. That bond could be a financial bond. It could also be a points opportunity around bond as well. So we are looking at those sort of things. But to be quite frank with you, I mean, we just simply need to make sure that players understand that their responsibility doesn't rest with the 80 minutes that they play their football on the field. They've got huge responsibilities to the game off the field, and when that goes wrong, what they are doing is jeopardising their livelihoods, and that can have some very dire consequences for them, both financially but also for the reputation in their own communities for the long term of their futures.
Hey, Todd, can I ask on that point, what do you guys actually send somebody around to each club, let's say they get back into training in October, and drill that into them, or do you leave it up to the clubs and their culture to lead the way on that?
No, it's a bit deeper than that. We actually pay for staff that are employed by those clubs in positions around education, welfare, and a number of other areas. On top of that, we run, you know, a number of game-wide programs around expectations, behaviour, particularly in some of the more difficult areas that they face these days with social media and more generally around the digital footprint of people.
What is it, can I ask you, is there anything in that program of education to get them out of the bubble? They've all been in a bubble since they're 14 or 15 years of age, being slapped on the back, being given scholarships, being given contracts. They have not seen the real world. What about making all of them work 4 hours a day? You see, the Titans did it recently.
Yeah, and you'll probably know Melbourne Storm have long maintained that as soon as a player arrives at their franchise, the first 2 weeks they're out there, whether they're a builder's labourer or doing something, to put some perspective. And I think your point's well made about, you know, the industry is almost complicit to the problems that we create for ourselves, where we bring them in at a young age, they're idolised from a young age. Quite often they surround themselves with people who tell them what they want to hear regularly, and sometimes you know, we need to tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And good clubs with good cultures and good leadership, I think, are doing that. And look, the other point that I'm working very hard on at the moment is the ownership of the players themselves. I'm talking about the senior players, that they need to own some of this responsibility within their own clubs and their own teams. What I mean by that is, when you see some things happening inside your club as leadership, and leaders of those, they need to stand up and actually call their teammates out, not walk past that because that player might be needed for that weekend's game. We've got to be better than that.
Yeah, the peer is so strong. But is this it, Todd? We've heard that there are more videos coming, that there's more off-field bad behaviour that is going to be released. Do you know anything about that?
Look, you're probably a bit like me. I've heard, I've heard some rumours over the last 6 months, but some of them come to fruition, some don't. But look, I'd be naive to say that there's not more videos being shared or have been shared historically. And, you know, if that's presented in front of us, we'll deal with it. We now have sanctions and the ability to stand players down that no other sport in this country has ever been brave enough to take forward. We're doing that, and we're doing that currently, and we'll continue to do it. And we're only doing it for one reason, which is to protect the integrity of the sport, and that's what we'll do.
Okay, let's finish on a positive, Todd. What's some good stuff coming up?
Magic Round's
coming
up.
There you go, the Magic Round. Tell us something good to end this with.
Well, we're certainly bringing 16 clubs and 8 games to one weekend in Brisbane. So I've got to tell you, we're really excited about it. It's a big step again. We're the first sport in the country that will be brave enough to make something like this happen.
And how's it going to pan out that weekend? Does it start Thursday?
Starts Thursday.
How many games?
You'll have one on Thursday. Yeah. You'll have a doubleheader Friday, a tripleheader Saturday, and then a doubleheader on Sunday.
All at Suncorp.
But I tell you what, have a listen to this. 70% of the tickets that have been purchased already are for 3-day passes, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which tells us that
we kind of like our league.
Really want to love the league. And interestingly, and the government will be delighted with this, 25% of the tickets that we've sold are coming from outside of Queensland. So people are going to come to Brisbane for the weekend. They're going to see more rugby league than they know what to do with, and will turn into a real festival. So really looking forward to that.
Nick, I'd be worried about people staying there. Like after one game, they'll hide somewhere at Suncorp and won't leave.
Yeah, now, Todd, on another, you know, another day, another call, but how about another team in Brisbane?
Geez, you know, I was up there on Monday for the yes. Career Mail launch, and I usually get that question. I know that might surprise you. I've said openly that there's no doubt Brisbane is ready and capable for another team. What we have to consider is, can the game afford it, and does it mean a new team? And if we're putting a new team in, does that mean a new game, which would require two new teams into the competition? So all of those things are currently being digested into a quite a large strategic project, which we would like to land over the next 12 months prior to doing our next podcast deal.
Todd, our listeners also voted on that this morning. Cronulla Sharks, but no Gallen got the vote to come to Brisbane, okay?
Not the world's most popular guy in Brisbane.
No, yeah, correct. No,
thanks
not.
For the chat, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
Good on you guys. Nice to chat. Cheers, talk to you during the year.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
This time, well, was it this time yesterday? We were talking about the annoying things that your partner does. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
And we got lots of people ringing in saying that their partners.
Oh, this is based on you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You stole all the keys from your house.
Well, I just happened to.
Stole everyone's car keys.
Well, I just took my husband Sean's keys and mine at the same time. Yes, I was very annoying.
That's mine, and I'll put it all in my handbag.
Quite like that, but it seems that everyone's partners do really annoying things.
My husband always buys too much. Or multiples of everything.
She borrows my car, Robin. I've got no problem with that, except I find half the makeup all over the car. Hairbrushes, hair ties. You're dead set. You think you're in the bathroom.
He corrects my spelling on my shopping list and the calendar at home.
Yeah, and then Mardo decided to weigh in with a whole list of things that the beautiful Kath does.
No, mainly leaves caps off. She doesn't do caps up properly on any bottles in the pantry, and you grab them and it's all over the ground next thing you know. Salt, chili flakes, oil, everything. Nick, it's just horrendous.
And I wanted
My wife puts a space before commas in messages.
Yeah, we were learning all these things, and then I said to you, Mardo, but what do you do? And you said this.
Loose.
I'm going to give you one chance to say one of your own, or else I'm going to text her and get a list.
She's at work. You won't get one. I don't do anything wrong. And you couldn't even ping me on toilet seat or anything cliched like that.
Because apparently you're perfect. Yes, those were the words you used yesterday.
I thought and I couldn't come up with anything that Kath has to repeatedly. Still can't come up with anything.
That's okay, because I got in touch with Kath and I said, Kath, please, give me a list.
When did you do this?
She was starting off by being really loyal and she said, I can't think of anything. I said, mate.
She did tell me.
Come on.
She told me at about 7 o'clock that you'd text her and I said, well, stay solid on this. If you can't think of anything, don't just go making stuff up.
And
she obviously did.
Yeah, well, she thought about that for a while and then she started with one thing and she said, he gets excited and he has a conversation with a mouthful of food.
That's nothing.
Okay. Well, I said, thanks, Kath. Is that all?
Talking with a mouthful.
Mouthful of food, that happens. If you've got something to say and you're also eating, and I eat a quite fair bit.
Yeah, well, then clearly she got more excited as the text conversations were going backwards and forwards. And she said, he's really messy. When we go on holidays, I like to put everything in cupboards and drawers to pretend that I live in this flash place.
Yeah.
And he just empties everything on the floor.
Who's annoying there?
Yeah, not me. Yeah, it's not your house.
Yeah,
it's a place. Yeah, it's a hotel.
Keep
you
out
might
of the
be
cupboard.
The same as me, Marto. As soon as I get in a hotel, I just open that suitcase and just flip it.
That's
just how you find it. Stuff.
Who
you never
cares?
Find anything, Nick. You'll never find a thing if you start putting it in drawers because you go, okay, I don't live here. I don't know.
But Kath wants to pretend she's living in a flash place, and then you come and mess it all up. But the last
neither of those two so far are annoying. That's more about her than me.
No, they're not. They're about you. The last one is absolutely in the
that's
jugular.
That's how that works, Marla.
Yes, apparently.
And I love this. Plus, he is a cupboard slammer. He's supposed to be a carpenter. Where are my quiet cupboard buffers?
This is what I acknowledge. That does annoy her. How come everyone else's houses that we've done over the years have got soft closed doors?
And
ours
what's
doesn't?
Your answer?
There's no answer.
Just like slamming a door.
Do you know how they're very they're hard and expensive to post.
You're never lost for words. Look at you.
Mm. Yeah, that's a fair point, that last one.
Yeah.
So are you going to now put covered buffers in your house at home?
No, because we keep saying we'll move one day and it's probably no use doing it now. You know, you get to
Do you move around your house like a bat, like using sonar, just slamming doors and figuring out where you are? That sounds like the kitchen. That sounds like the laundry. That sounds like the bedroom.
Oh, bang. Oh, he's in the laundry.
Okay. That list is fairly minor.
Oh, really? I thought she was doing really well. The fact
you could play Marto Polo in his house.
The big breakfast on Triple M.
Okay, the front page of today's paper is a lovely dentist and a little patient. I think she's 3 years old. Gracie Bucket is her name. She's adorable. Anyway, the headline screams, "The tooth hurts." It turns out that, and it's all around the whole argument that we don't have fluoride in the water, but...
Yeah,
the Australian Dental Association is warning that we have the worst... and I'm going to get caught up with tooth. The worst teeth crisis in Queensland. We have the worst statistics than any other state. The only one that's equally as bad as us is the Northern Territory, and that's for a whole lot of other different reasons. But they're saying 150,000 Queensland children are on a waiting list to see a dentist in the public health system. 27,569 hospitalisation for dental conditions in just 1 year, and two-thirds were children and young people that are having these issues with their teeth.
Why is there a girl of three on the front page going, why do you need to go to the dentist when you're three? Don't all those teeth fall out?
You would think so.
Why would you be going, why would you worry?
My idea is that someone at the paper said, get me someone cute.
Oh, yes, we've got a front page.
We've got a front page screaming out. But let's talk about the dentist, because I am part of that generation, which I guess you guys are too, that going to the dentist was terrifying.
They weren't very good at managing pain in the old days.
Oh, it was so excruciating.
They brutalised you.
They did.
My old primary school, for some reason, it was the second worst primary school in the state of Victoria, voted 3 years in a row, right?
Second worst at what?
Just as a school.
It was just bad.
Sorry, the principal lost $40,000 of the school's money on the pokies. Right? Oh, it was a nightmare.
That'll do it.
And it was only $40 a year. And you didn't have to pay it if you didn't want to. It was a hellhole, right? But for some reason, once a year, they'd set up like a dental room. They had a dental office there.
Oh, yeah, I remember they sort of... Did they have a caravan sometimes up here?
Well, in Brisbane, I know that there used to be a dental service at Turinga Parade at Indooroopilly State School. On Turinga Parade.
It permanently there?
It's permanently there, and kids could go through, kids could come in and get their teeth
if you didn't have enough money to go to a dentist. Yeah. Was that that?
Terrifying. Yeah.
Dentists were, you could have taken a lot of them to court, because they were just getting stuck in like a concrete cutter.
I remember once I had a dentist, and she put her leg up on the dental chair to extract a tooth. And I'm going, I can feel, as you're dribbling, and it's just so revolting.
That happened to me last year. They're still doing that.
Excuse me, you go to sleep when you're at the dentist. No, you cannot talk about this.
Last year they had to remove those, what are those things at the back? Wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the dentist from the time when I left home, when I was 18, until I reckon I was 34. I was that scared of the dentist. I just moved away from mum and dad's house, okay? So I went, I never have to go to that dentist ever again, and I never got another dentist till I was 35. So I reckon 16 years.
Are you a brusher and flosser?
I am these days, because after that, I got a warning in the last few years. Whatever your disrespect for your teeth when you're in your 20s, it was just disgraceful.
It's coming back to bite you.
Haunt me.
Yeah, so I don't floss because I've got shaky hands.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
It takes so long to floss. It's a nightmare watching me floss. I just go, the amount of times that would add up, right? It's less to just have the dentist fix it.
Fix it up.
Oh, well, you said 15 years.
Yeah, I reckon 15 years between dental visits, and
years.
Okay, let's find out if anyone... How long since you've been to the dentist and why? Yeah. Is there some awful horror story from your childhood that has meant that you'll never go to the dentist again? Actually, my middle son knocked his front tooth out with a baseball bat at school while he was trying to hit a deflated basketball at another kid. As you do.
Air swing and came back and hit himself.
Yeah, hit
such
himself.
A boy story. Yeah. No chick. That's never happened to a chick. I was trying to hit a deflated ball at another kid with a baseball bat and knocked down my tooth.
But the school rang the local dentist and said, what do we have to do? And they said, you need to get him down here as soon as you can.
Milk.
But if you can, reinsert the tooth.
Oh.
So I will forever honour my middle son who allowed the school nurse to put the tooth back in to the socket without any sort of drugs.
I had a mate get his punched out on the goalie during during a schoolies week mishap, and he's picked it up off the nightclub floor and tried to put it back in, but just put it back in backwards.
Oh, that's gold.
Okay, there are our stories.
You're supposed to use milk just for others who are playing along at home.
Well, we didn't know that. We just got it reinserted. James of Springfield, what happened with your dental story?
Grade 3, school dental van at school, did the x-rays, found out that I had 3 sets of 2 front teeth.
Whoa.
3 sets of...
Yeah.
What were they? Congrats on being the first talking shark, James.
Quite possibly.
So what happened? They have to take them out.
Yeah, went to hospital, had to have 4 taken out, and then the top 2 pulled down.
Oh.
And then a couple of years later, they didn't progress down as much as they should have, so went to Spring Hill. There was a dental clinic up there. And under a local anaesthetic, they sliced my gum, pulled the gum out and stuck it on top of my lip, and then pulled down the teeth and restitched it up while I was holding the sucker, sucking out all the blood and stuff out of the inside of my mouth. So quite traumatic as a child.
I bet.
And what does your bite look like now? Are your teeth good?
Yeah, they're fine.
They do miracles.
I haven't been to the dentist in about 6 years.
No,
you never want to hear the term, and then I had to get my teeth pulled down. They're not roller shutters.
No, they're immovable objects.
Thank you, James. Angela of Petrie, how long since you've been to the dentist and what happened?
Hi, guys. Well, it's been a good 22 years since I've been to the dentist. So,
What happened?
Well, I just hated the dentist as a kid, and I blame my mother because she always let me eat lollies and never made me brush my teeth. So it's all my mother's fault, of course.
Yeah. Oh, so handball that off.
I had terrible teeth, and when I was 18, I was told I needed a root canal. So hightailed it out of there, and then I didn't go back to the dentist for another 22 years where I had this horrendous, horrendous toothache, and I couldn't take it anymore. Went to the dentist begrudgingly, had it pulled out, and realised, hey, this isn't too bad. Like, I don't know what I was so scared of all my whole life. And the thing is, I have teenage children and their teeth are perfect. We've been to the orthodontist, we go to the dentist on a regular basis. But I just never went to the dentist myself because I thought it was just a horrendous thing. But it's actually not. So
there you go.
Encourage people to go to the dentist.
Just date night.
It's not as bad as what everybody thinks. Like, you know, growing up is horrible, but now...
It's better.
Don't you reckon the dentists weren't as good in the old days, or they weren't as good at what they were doing?
They didn't have the same type of pain relief, I think, is the issue. Mm. 22 years is the record so far. Lincoln of Birkdale, what happened? How long?
Okay, I've braces on as a young kid, the old train tracks on the teeth, and traumatised from that. I'm 48 now. I haven't been for 30 years.
Oh, that's wonderful stuff.
Wow. Still got the braces on.
Yeah, they're still there.
They aren't. Please tell me they're not.
They aren't there.
Of course not, mate.
Yeah, you haven't had any teeth aches. You haven't had anything.
No, but I don't mind that sensitive masking toothpaste.
Oh, yeah.
They're releasing all of these toothpastes now that are a lot more... A lot more gentle on the teeth.
It's always nice. Sounds like you need it, Lincoln. You're off to the Beer Insider Experience R&A Showgrounds this Saturday. Beerinsider.com. Yeah, your teeth are already ruined, mate.
Yeah, they're already ruined.
You know you've got to go when you get a toothache from the breeze? You're like, that'll do. Yeah. The wind's hurting.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, there was a real kerfuffle. Well, yesterday, it's been building for a while, apparently. Now I go into the background of it. Deebing Heights and Deebing Creek.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah.
It's out. If you go through, before you go to Ipswich, you take the Warwick turnoff. This is coming from Brisbane. Take the Warwick turnoff and come, you know, Swanbank, where the old mines used to be, and then Yermanto.
Yes.
It's right just past Yermanto, around that area.
On the right-hand side, because there's all bushland on the left.
Yes, well, there's less and less bushland because there's, and this is what it's about. It's a, there's a development of about 900 blocks we're going out there.
Okay.
And the traditional owners, the First Nation owners, they've, well, it's not their land, but right next to it is an old burial site.
Okay.
And an old mission. Okay. And this Frasers, I think the property group, are they're planning on building like 900 places, and they're going, no, we're leaving a huge buffer zone. So they've been in dispute for a while. I haven't heard anything about it.
I haven't either.
My care factor for Deebing Creek and Deebing Heights is very low. It's a place you drive past on the way to get to Warwick and Stanthorpe for me. So,
but they were caring a lot about it on Nine News last night.
They were putting sticks on the road to stop trucks go by, which was quite fabulous. I love the police. We had capsicums. There would have been 40 police involved.
Yeah,
there was
so.
A protest. It was a
How
tiny...
How many protesters?
50. It was one of the more Jesus. Ordinary protests. Here's some of the protests. Channel 9 went to it 3 times during the news, and it's the closest thing we've had to a race riot for quite some time.
I'm getting off the road!
White man, lemon! You're from my tribal land! You're a coconut!
I don't know what all of that means. That's unnecessary.
No, you can't say coconut.
Did someone yell out, I listened to Triple M in the middle of that? That's what it sounded like. Play that back.
The Big Breakfast. On Triple M.
Big Breakfast has big ideas for the NRL. Now, they need some positive stories. And
they really do.
They probably need something that'll divert attention away. I might have an idea for them.
Okay, go on.
They need to, I didn't hear what Dobbo was saying during the news, but expansion. I don't think it needs to get any bigger, the NRL. If anything, it may need to get smaller. And at the moment, they play 25 games a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, round robin. They don't play, everyone doesn't play each other twice. That needs to stop. You need to have 14 teams. 13 games, home and away, 26 games.
How many
games.
Teams are there?
There's 16 at the
16.
Moment.
Okay.
And that's where I'm going, Robin. We definitely need another team in Brisbane.
Right, yes.
You know, I'll give you an idea. Brisbane is the richest and biggest club in the competition. We should be winning every third year or so. Did you realise that even the ball they make, now I've got it written down somewhere here, they make $14.5 million out of their sponsors.
Yeah.
Cronulla the other day only just got their jersey sponsor sorted out, and it was a roof guttering company. Okay? $14.5 million the Broncos
very
got.
Very rich roof guttering.
30,000 members. That throws another $6 million into them. Then they get $12.5 million from the NRL. So that's nearly $30 million the Broncos generate. Their revenue stream is about $50 million. They're
enormous. They should be winning a lot more.
Do you know that they went for a proposal? Even their training balls, the balls they use at training, okay, they realised how many times it's in the paper each day, the training ball.
Today.
Yep. Well, that's the Melbourne training ball. But the Brisbane one, they went and they said, okay, they went to the marketplace and said, this is how many times this ball gets seen. $200,000 they sold the sponsorship for the training ball. All right, the Broncos are so big, we need another team. We have to have a team, and we need that Suncorp Stadium to have a game every single weekend.
Yes, we do.
We have
I agree
two
with
teams.
That.
We're
okay.
happy with that?
Yes, we're happy.
Yeah. What it means is we've got to take a team from somewhere else.
Okay.
Let's play a game of which Sydney team do we get rid of. Now, they're up present. Well, let's assume New Zealand. Everyone happy to keep New Zealand?
Well you need it. That makes it an international game.
Everyone happy to keep Newcastle? Everyone happy to keep
Melbourne? Okay.
Everyone happy to keep Canberra? I'm a bit dodgy on Canberra, but let's move on. Everyone happy with that so far?
I'm not
everyone
necessarily happy with Newcastle because they're so poor, but apart from that...
Does that mean... All right, well, I'll take that on board. Cowboys, everyone happy with?
Yeah, Cowboys.
Everyone happy with? Well, Titans is another one. All right, let's go through the Sydney teams. If we were... And the competition started in 1908, the New South Wales Rugby League. Since then, they've added so many teams. You know, Canberra was a team that got added. Brisbane was a team that got added. Warriors, Cowboys, these were all added teams. And now they say we can't add any more. Well, get rid of the Sydney teams. Penrith, do they need to stay?
Oh, Brendo.
I'd like them to stay.
I say they stay because they represent the far west of Sydney.
Right. Well,
Sydney's a very broad place from
Blue
east
Mountains
to west.
As well, they get a bit big.
Parramatta's got to stay. They just built a new stadium and they represent the middle west of Sydney. Everyone happy?
They're the actual centre of Sydney.
That's exactly right.
That's true.
All right. Now, the eastern suburbs of Sydney, do we say the Roosters can stay?
Well, only because they're winning at the moment.
Well, that means you've got to get rid of the Souths, the Bunnies.
Oh, no.
And you've got to get rid of Cronulla, perhaps. You've got to get rid of either Cronulla or St George.
The Shire get really cranky.
All right. Well, I'll give you a choice. Here's your choices. 133353. Everyone can play this game. You've got to get rid of Cronulla and St George because you only have one team representing the south of Sydney.
Okay.
And you've got to get rid of either Manly Balmain or the Bulldogs, because you only have one team on that inner west northern
area.
West
Tigers, you mean?
West Tigers. Oh, I call them Balmain, sorry. West Tigers, yeah. Well, they could just, let's get rid of them. Let's have a discussion. If you reckon one of those, there's 2, 4, 6, 8. There's 9 Sydney teams. I'd rather it see become 7. Which 2 teams has to go from Sydney and why?
Paul of Ipswich, who would you get rid of?
Yeah, I believe Sharks should go. You should never get rid of St. George. One, they had more immortals than any other club. They also hold the record to this day of 11 premierships in a row.
Yes.
I actually played for them as a junior. They looked after their kids really well.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be Sharks because of one reason. Gallen, who put so much crap on Queensland, he's a knob.
Okay, I'll take that second. The first bit was personal, the second bit was factual. Yeah. Righto, Cronulla are gone. Keep voting, 133353, even if you don't get to air, we want to know who you want to get rid of.
Okay, Gilly of Boona.
Oh, well, I'm totally against old mate that just was on.
Oh, no.
Half my family goes to St. George. Well. Now, they couldn't do it on their own years ago, and they had to merge. So get rid of them now. They can't do it. Just get rid of them.
Okay, St. George's. Righto. St. George's getting...
Why don't we just have a team called South Sydney and not the Bunnies? Take that bunny thing off them. They're South Sydney. They become Cronulla, St. George and South Sydney.
So you just amalgamate three
why
clubs.
Not? Why not? Sydney ain't that big to have 9 clubs. Brisbane's got 2.5 million people here.
Okay.
We've got to have another one.
Debbie of Ipswich, which club would you like to get rid of? Which of the Sydney teams?
Well, not Manly.
Oh, okay.
Come on, look at premiership wins, okay? 2 in the last decade. I know Broncos have had none.
Mm.
All right, so, you know, but no.
Shots fired.
They represent the northern suburbs of Sydney.
I like that. If you were starting the NRL today, okay, forget about all the history, you'd have to have a team from the south, and we just sorted that out. Let's amalgamate Cronulla, St. George and south. Our team from north end of Sydney, so say Sydney North, what would that be? You're calling that a Manly?
Yeah.
And get rid of the Tigers.
Yeah, we don't merge. We don't like mergers, as you know. We come back bigger and better than ever after that.
Righto.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, definitely it's a Manly thing. You wouldn't understand. Not everyone hates them.
Okay, well, we're just checking.
For those that do, Manly hates you too.
Okay, great.
Oh, what a positive message. Isn't that tremendous?
Well, Marta, you're looking south to see a team that should go, but you're looking too far south, right? You're looking down in New South Wales.
Yeah.
I reckon if you're going to start a new club in Brisbane, right, you need facilities, you need players, you need something because you've got the fans, right? We've got the fans in Brisbane, but you just don't have the infrastructure.
Okay.
I reckon you could just load up those Gold Coast Titans on some Lime scooters, get them up. The Brisbane Titans. Nobody's watching them there. Just bring them up a bit further north.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Gee, there's an interesting court case going on in Brisbane at the moment. It's where that 67-year-old former hostie from one of the airlines, okay, she got her ex-boyfriend to hire a hitman to kill her ex-husband.
Seen this,
all right?
Yeah.
So it's a fairly sordid tale. And yesterday in court, so we can't report too directly.
No,
I don't want
can't.
To mention too much about it. But yesterday in court, the alleged hitman was testifying. And I'll just quote to you from the paper. He goes... The judge said, did you ever have any intention whatsoever of committing this act of killing? So no one died, okay?
Yep.
That's good.
It's important.
This bloke said, not at all. I may be stupid, but I'm not crazy. Thanks, mate. So I got the reporter last night. She was in court and she told the story of the hitman.
Matthew Neils claims he's no hitman, but told a jury he was paid $20,000 up front with the promise of another $20,000 to shoot dead the ex-husband of Teresa Dalton.
All right, that's the job. Mm-hmm. You're a hitman. This bloke is the worst hitman ever. Listen to that. So he gets $20,000 up front, hasn't done anything, and he said, I'll get the job done, then give me the other $20,000.
Right.
What'd you do with the money, Matt?
I spent it on minor things, went on a couple of trips, fishing trips. I bought some stuff for the kids, bought the missus a new washing machine and dryer.
How good is this guy?
I also love that originally she gave him $2,800. So,
Hold on, we're getting to that.
Oh, really?
don't worry. Yes. And so they've got their clothes are clean and they're dry.
Excellent.
Okay,
yeah.
The kids are all happy. Yeah, he caught some fish. He had a great time. Anyone dead yet? No, not yet. But they gave him the details. This is what you got to do.
He asked me, could I kill this guy? He told me that he'd ripped off a lot of people and he was a pedophile. He explained there was a spare block of land behind his property and I should park the car somewhere there and shoot him when he was out the back having a barbecue.
It's hardly Ocean's 13, is it? Like, no. The dip. Just go around the back and he at the barbie and just shoot him, okay?
Okay, good.
Righto. All right, so Nick, you were describing before.
For 20 grand. she originally gave him 2,800 bucks to buy a gun. Right, but the bloke, instead of buying a gun, has bought an air conditioning unit for his house.
That'd be this bit.
Neil's told the court that he also requested $2,800 to buy the murder weapon, but instead of buying a gun, he says he used that money to buy his daughter a new air conditioning unit for her bedroom.
Oh, good Lord. What
mate, we'll get him over, crank it up, he'll get the chills next thing you know, the sniffles, and he's on his way out.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.